Hello, everybody. This is Doug, and I'm here again today with David Fetter. David is an individual and couples therapist in private practice in the Toronto area since 2001. He's in possession of a slew of professional designations and certifications, and he specializes as a therapist and coach who focuses almost exclusively helping individuals and couples survive and thrive after infidelity. And welcome, David. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's really good to be back.
Awesome. I appreciate you taking the time to join us.
My pleasure.
As we're getting closer to the holidays, now you're up in Canada. Have you had your Thanksgiving yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're...
Okay.
Yeah, the turkey's well digested.
Okay. Well, we still have another couple weeks here as we're doing this recording, and that down here in the States actually is kind of the official kickoff of the holiday season. And I know that people who are struggling with infidelity, this can be a really difficult time of year for them in many ways. And so we want to talk today about how to celebrate the holidays after infidelity. And I'll go ahead and turn things over to you for now, and we'll hopefully have some good ideas for the people out there. So thanks, David.
Sounds good. You know, what I wanted to do is... you know, I really thought it would be helpful in my own practice to put together a few tips, and that's what I thought. I thought it was just going to be a few tips that I would be able to share with the folks that I work with here in Toronto, as well as outside of Toronto. But as it turns out, when I started to put down, as I say, a few tips, and that's the operative word, it ended up to be the 12 tips. And as I was telling you before we, you know, when we started here, it reminded me of the 12, what's that song?
The 12 Days of Christmas.
12 Days of Christmas. And lo and behold, I came up with the 12 tips of Christmas. So some of the tips may sound familiar, you know, because I'm not saying that all are originals, you know, original thoughts,
sure.
But they did emanate from me and some of the experiences I had here in the office working with some of my clients. So,
awesome.
You know, I thought it would be good to share it with your listeners.
Okay. Now, are you going to do these while singing? Is that the idea?
No, I'm going to spare you all.
Okay. All right, good.
Yeah, the person who had a good voice in my family was my mother, and I certainly, it seems, at least as I get older, I seem to take more after my father, who didn't have much of an ear for music. So I think I'll just talk about them.
There you go.
But
okay.
Thanks for the offer.
No problem.
So basically, you know, as we prepare for the holiday season, you know, I think that many people will be preparing for, you know, either Christmas or the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. And, you know, what's interesting about these two holidays is that both of them speak about things that all of us are in great need of, and perhaps even greater need given the situation in the world that we live in today. And that is the need to love one another. And to take care of one another, to look to a brighter future, as well as I think the holidays impart the message that anything is possible. And, you know, in the story of Hanukkah, we talk about miracles. So I'm not really sure I'm referring to miracles, but I am a believer that most things, if we really put our minds to it, are possible. And, and you know, just an aside, just to sort of drive that message home, once a year, one of the things that I do is I do long-distance cycling. And I'll just say this before we get into the topic that we're here to talk about. And once a year, I participate in a fundraiser, which is the Ride to Conquer Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fundraiser, and everybody participating has to raise a minimum of $2,500 or more. It's a minimum of $2,500, and I usually try to exceed that. And it's a bike ride from here, Toronto to Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. And so it's basically about 120 miles, and we do it over 2 days. And one of the things that I learned by doing that run was that, you know, each time we do the ride, we have upward of 4,500 to 5,000 cyclists who participate.
Wow.
And in addition to that number of cyclists, we have about 500 to 1,000 volunteers. So when you think about that's 5,500 to, you know, over 6,000 people, all participating, all devoting their time and their energy over a weekend, but because of the fundraising component over the course of, let's say, 6 months before the ride, dedicating themselves to a particular cause. And I learned, in the first year that I did it, and this will be my 10th year this year, that when people really put their minds to accomplishing something, they could accomplish anything. And hence, when I say that the message imparted by Christmas or Hanukkah or other holidays is that anything is possible. I really do believe that anything is possible. So,
well said.
I really love that message that I learned and I thought would be worth sharing.
Yeah.
Thinking about the holidays, you know, many of us, I think it's safe to say, have looked forward to this particular time of year since we were kids. And as adults, we still look to, forward to the holiday season. But after an affair, anticipating time spent with extended family and friends can be more challenging. So what do we do? And it could be more challenging for a number of reasons, you know, because not everybody represents a good part of our support system, because people have their opinions, and you know, sometimes we feel judged, and that makes it hard for us to be around certain friends and extended family. So, you know, I was wondering or thinking about what do we do? Infidelity, as we know, you know, and I think it's safe to say that most of us have either directly or indirectly been affected by a form of infidelity, whether it be emotional or physical. And what most of those people know is that infidelity changes lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that people, going through or recovering from infidelity navigate through any number of peaks and valleys. But we also know that often with some good help provided by a knowledgeable professional or coach who understands the subtleties of infidelity and its impact, we know that recovery is possible, that we can get to the other side of infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
But similarly, anyone, whether you're the hurt partner or the involved partner, or kids for that matter, probably found out that the holiday season can be difficult emotionally, and that's why we're having this conversation here today.
Yep.
So what I'm going to go through a list of, as I say, the 12 tips of Christmas or the holiday season, and
okay.
And you know, if there's any comments that, or questions, we could discuss it. And if you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear about it. So the first one is
Thank you.
So the first one is don't be alone. As you said in the introduction, the holiday season is a difficult time for many people. And, you know, in the mental health field, it's the time when we hear about people feeling most depressed and, most alone and alienated or isolated from other people. So my advice or my tip that I wanted to start with is not to be alone, but to surround yourself with as many people who love you, are willing to be there for you, and who won't judge you. People who want to be with you and people who you want to be with. I call it people who make you feel good.
Yeah.
And, you know, very often we feel compelled to be with people just because we have to. But what I what I think about is I encourage everyone, particularly during the holiday season, to make conscious decisions about who you choose to spend time with. And the operative word is making a conscious decision about who you want to choose to spend time with. It's, you know, not you have to. It shouldn't be you have to, but you choose to.
Well, that's a challenge. I think that's a challenge at times, too, because, you know, you have traditions and they may be, you know, well, let's all go to grandma's house and, you know, mom and dad and cousin Joe and everybody's going to be there. But, you know, if cousin Joe knows that your husband or wife cheated on you, then there may be some seriously awkward moments and you know, perhaps it could turn ugly, you know.
I think there's always that potential, and that's really why I encourage people to make a good choice that works for them. Because, you know, if it gets ugly, when you really think about it, if it gets ugly, what's the benefit and what's the value? It only makes it harder afterwards. So I think that it's, you know, people really need to give themselves the permission to make the choice that's going to work for them.
Right. Makes sense.
Not feel compelled to do something that they know, as you say, is going to turn out ugly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
The second tip is if after the affair you and your spouse are hoping to be able to stay together and are working together to save your marriage, think about after what happened, of all the places you and your spouse could be, that both you and your spouse decided to spend the holiday season together at this time, because nobody has to. They make it, you know, when people make a choice to be together, when people make a choice to spend the holiday time together, they're making that choice because they want to, not because they have to, because they could be anywhere else, or they could have told,
right,
you know, told you, I don't want to spend that time with you. So I think it's something that this is something to be mindful of, to be grateful for, and to see this as a gift that mostly the hurt partner gives to the involved partner, and not to take that for granted. It's a gift that I call it a gift of tremendous value. And I think it's important to acknowledge it, as such.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good.
The third tip, I recommend that people manage their expectations efficiently, and not to have high expectations, but just to take it almost, you know, one moment at a time or one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your expectations modest. Connected with that is doing what feels right and not overextending yourself by doing anything that doesn't feel right. Again, in keeping with the theme of choices, this is another choice that people have to give themselves the permission and feel empowered, hopefully, to make those kind of choices. In other words, focus on yourself instead of focusing on meeting expectations of others that just don't feel right or don't feel good. And in managing your expectations or whatever, and you know, basically doing what you can reasonably do and not do any more than that. And be honest with yourself. Be honest with the other person or people. The fourth is, sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The fourth is if there's anything that you're worried about or anticipate may be problematic for you during the festivities, know what these are. So identify them, you know, try to prepare in advance and then plan for it. If there is someone who you worry about being around or a situation you think may make you uncomfortable, mm-hmm. let others who you know care about you and who are there for you be your support system. So speak up and first of all, know what it is and then speak up. You know, people can't support another individual if they don't know what that person needs. So the idea here is to be prepared. You know that you don't have to be alone in your worry or fear, but know who those people are.
Good.
The fifth is, I always think it's helpful to have a gratitude list in your back pocket. And these, this list would be a gratitude list of things or people in your life that you're grateful for. For that matter, it could be you know, included in that list could be gratitude for something that many of us take for granted. And that is, when was the last time, I wonder, either, well, I'll include myself, but, you know, myself or you or anybody listening, took a moment to be grateful for their heart that never stops beating. You know, that's always there for you, no matter what happens.
Right.
Or the breath in your lungs. You know, these are things that are gifts that we should remember, or the people in our life, or you know, if we have a pet, or something particularly of value to us that we're particularly grateful for. It's a good idea in advance to have what I refer to, excuse me, as a gratitude list, and to keep that in our back pocket so we can look at that list whenever we need to, whether we're feeling down or sad or lonely or whatever it is that we're feeling, that we're able to bring that list up and we don't have to think on the moment or in the moment when we're probably least equipped to come up with things that we're grateful for when we're feeling depressed. So we have that list, we could pull it out and we could look at it whenever we feel a need to or want to.
We wrote a post, it's been a few years ago, about gratitude. And, you know, because I agree with what you're saying. I think it's important to be, you know, have gratitude for things that, especially things we tend to take for granted. But, you know, and we got a lot of, I don't want to use the word flack, but a lot of negative comments from people that said, you know, how do you expect me to be gracious or, you know, show gratitude for something when my life has been destroyed or when I'm going through, you know, what I'm going through? You know, they're just so down, they're so despondent. I mean, how does, any suggestions there?
Well, I think, yeah, as you were speaking, the first thought that came to my mind is that, you know, there's, I'm gonna tell a little story. I mean, there was somebody who, I don't remember who it was, so forgive me, but I remember listening to a YouTube video of a gentleman speaking, and he said every morning when he wakes up, he looks over at his night table, and there's two sets of glasses on his night table. One is life is wonderful, a pair of glasses. The other is life sucks. And every morning before he gets out of bed, he gets to decide which pair of glasses he puts on.
I like that, yeah.
And, you know, the rest is pretty clear. If he puts on that life sucks, then life sucks. Everything that you see and experience during the day is going to be seen through the lens of negativity versus the other. And I think that that's really true. We have an opportunity, I think, to, you know, where if we make the affair and the betrayal the only thing in our life, then we're going to be very myopic and we're going to see the world through a very, very narrow lens. But I do believe that no matter what happens in our life, there is still goodness in our life. And you know, it seems that this is the moment of storytelling for me, but it reminds me of my experience with my maternal grandmother. She was a wonderful person. When I was about, I think, 7 years old, she developed gangrene in her left leg. And the treatment then, back then, was she had to get her leg amputated. And the way her leg healed, she could never ever be fitted for a prosthesis. So she lived the rest of her life with one leg, and she only went out for two special occasions in our family. She only left her home twice in probably in about 25 years.
Wow.
And her going out was sitting on the balcony in the front of the house and looking at people walking and cars driving by. But my grandmother always had a house full of visitors. And, you know, when people get sick, what typically happens is people visit at the beginning and then they drop off. And the person who was sick left basically on their own. That never happened to my grandmother. And one day I asked one of the people who visited, I said, you know, what is it that brings you back all the time to visit my grandmother? And she said, your grandmother always has a joke. And when I thought about that, probably about 15 years ago, I thought, you know what? The message my grandmother taught me and my siblings was don't focus on what you don't have, but focus on what you have.
Yeah.
And because she never, in all those years, never spoke about the fact that she only had one leg and she could, you know, she didn't feel comfortable going out. She just focused on what she had, and what she had were three grandchildren who loved her dearly, and she loved them. She had her daughter, my mother, and she had a son-in-law in my dad who looked at her as a mother. And, you know, and she had her siblings and whatever. She just focused on what she had. So I think that, you know, there are always things to be grateful for, even when things are really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to remember that.
Good stuff.
Going over to tip number six, remember what the holiday season means to you and what it has always meant to you. Remember all the good and special times spent previous years. Picture these in your mind. You know, smell the smells. Just imagine it. Hear the beautiful sounds and so on. And use your five senses, all of them, to remember and enjoy those memories. So don't let, you know, try not to let what is currently happening in your life take those memories away. And think of those memories and think about how you can safely replicate them with whoever it is you choose to celebrate the holiday season with. If you have kids, think of the type of holiday season you want them to have this year. Stay focused and make that happen. Don't let anyone or anything that happened take that away from you, because you would be robbing yourself of a wonderful opportunity to spend, spend some really good time with people you care about, like your kids or whoever, and create new memories that that will be priceless.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
The next one is, and that was actually six and seven, tips six and seven together, the seventh one being creating new memories with your kids. The next one is if you're reminded of your problems during the holiday season, which undoubtedly will happen, and you, because of the affair, try not to despair and try not to get swallowed up by it. You might find that your mind travels between positive and negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And this is natural. But if it happens, take a moment and honor your thoughts, honor your feelings, and try not to, as I say, get enveloped by them. Because all the things in our lives and all the things we worry about eventually pass. It becomes part of our past where it can't and doesn't hurt us anymore, or at least it hurts less. And the imagery that I often use when I talk about that is, if you think about the ocean standing by the seashore and you're looking at the waves come in and then they go out. They don't stay in. And that's how I think about our thoughts. A thought may come in, but it's only a thought. And a thought in and of itself doesn't really need to hurt us. to get rid of it or to manage it. As I say, I don't think we should, you know, try to ignore it or pretend it doesn't exist, but I think it's important to honor it. But then consider if it would help sharing it with a trusted individual, a trusted person who is there for you. Or take a moment in a quiet space, take a moment to yourself, and if you are into meditation, meditate. And a type of meditation could be nothing more than just focusing on your breath.
Right.
And think about your breath as life-giving. Or finally, if you could take some time to yourself or later on afterwards, journal about what you thought. And it doesn't have to be a long journal entry. It could be something very brief. And just, you know, journaling allows you to process it, or talking to someone allows you to process that thought and see quite often whether it is something that you have to really worry about or something that you could ultimately let go and come back into the present.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And try to be, you know, I think it's important to be as present as much as often as you can. In order to enjoy what is happening around you during the holiday season.
Yeah, those are great tips, because I know it's during this time it's a triggering event for a lot of people, and you know, they can certainly think about things, and sometimes it even goes much further than that into, you know, full out panic mode and, you know, panic attacks and things of that nature too, you know, just because of any kind of trauma that they may have experienced. But, you know, so those are some great tips on how to manage that.
For sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The next tip is taking care of yourself by doing nice things for yourself and by allowing others who are within what I refer to as your inner circle to do nice things for you. And try to remember, try to keep in mind that regardless of what has happened, that when people are being nice to you, you deserve it. Even though you may have, if you're the involved partner, may have done something by having the affair, you know, had done something that was hurtful to another person and quite damaging, that, you know, you're not all bad. In fact, we're all capable of doing good and bad because we're human.
Sure.
So trying to keep that in mind, and not to minimize the hurt or the pain that the infidelity caused the hurt partner. But I think that, you know, all of this is based on or built around the fact that as an involved partner, you're mindful of the hurt you caused, your decisions caused, and you honor and respect that person. But you also honor and respect yourself. The next one is for the participating partner. Or the involved partner, as those two terms are interchangeable. If you've ended the affair, the holiday season may be a time when you feel a pull to contact the affair partner.
Yes.
You may find yourself thinking about the affair partner a little bit more, worrying that he or she may be spending the time alone. You may be concerned about how they're managing.
Mm-hmm.
And you may feel compelled to reach out to them. Having said that, I think it's important to also point out that they may reach out to you as the involved partner. And there, hopefully, you have established some really good boundaries about what you were, and this would have come from, let's say, when you ended the affair, the message that was given to the affair partner about how you would respond should they contact you. That boundary would have more often than not been to have no contact with them, or if they reach out to you, not to respond back to the affair partner. And by no means, and we have talked about this, but by no means should you go see the affair partner, because the chances of getting pulled back into the affair is probably pretty great, and maybe even more so during the holiday season.
Absolutely.
If you're hoping to reconcile and you're working on your relationship with your spouse or partner, as I said, just stay clear of any contact with the affair partner. Instead, tell someone who cares about you what you're thinking of doing, if you're thinking about responding back. Use that support, or reach out to your coach or therapist if you have one, or to a support group if you're involved with one. And finally, the last tip is, know what you want from the holiday season. Know what you want it to be like, and use your power to make it become your reality. This is a time to, as I mentioned this in a previous tip, it's a time to not only hold on to some of your old memories that meant so much to you, but it's also a time to create new memories. And a lot of what recovery from infidelity is all about is creating new memories or new ways of doing things. And the holiday season is no exception of an opportunity to create new memories. So allow yourself to, or give yourself permission to do this by using your power to make whatever it is you would like the holiday season to be. So in summary, with regard to these tips, as much as we may look forward to the holiday season after the discovery or disclosure of an affair, this time of year can be, as we said, harder than at other times, or as hard. So I encourage people to stay within their power in order to increase the possibility of being empowered to make choices that are good for you. Not feel as though you have to meet the expectations of others, but instead to take care of yourself. So
those are great tips, David. Appreciate those. And I'm going to add a 13th one. I want to run by you, and you tell me if you think it's a good one or not, okay?
Sure.
And I think that maybe there might be some consideration with the couple to maybe put any discussions or affair-related recovery discussions and things like that on hold. Maybe call a truce, if you will, and not deal with this stuff over the holidays, so to more concentrate on maybe making it a pleasant one. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's basically a good idea, in the sense of, not using the time to talk about things that are particularly negative. But, the only caveat I would say is that a person may still get triggered. And
sure.
I don't think it's reasonable to tell that person you need to repress whatever it is you just came into your mind. If you could deal with it by talking to someone in your support group or support system, sort of that message kind of infiltrates all of the tips that we've talked about here today. But I also, and if it could be dealt with that way, I think that's great. But I also think that I look at triggers. I don't look at triggers as a negative. I look at triggers as golden opportunities or golden nuggets to rebuild the relationship. So if, for example, if I was going through an affair as the hurt partner and I just had this I got triggered and I felt compelled to tell my wife that, this is really, really hard. I'm really feeling anxious. It's so hard because I don't know what you're thinking or how this is for you. And I see that as an opportunity for the involved partner to say, to give the hurt partner a message of reassurance,
absolutely.
To be a little bit more transparent with how the involved partner is feeling about being together, and it's an opportunity to say things like, you know, I know this is hard and I understand that and I'm so sorry you're going through that, but this is where I want to be. And it's you who I want to be with, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be. And, you know, that could be a very heartwarming message. So sure. I think that in a general sense, I agree with your tip. But I also see, as I say, triggers as being golden opportunities to rebuild.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, absolutely. I know that in our situation, some of the best connecting moments that Linda and I had started off as bad moments, you know, a result of a trigger or, you know, something of that nature. But, you know, it's how you deal with the triggers and be able to, you know, turn it around and have a decent conversation and a connecting moment that does help in the overall situation. And but I think when I said as far as putting it on hold, and I agree with what you're talking about as far as triggers and whatnot, it's the questioning and the, you know, the, you know, just bringing up the stuff maybe as far as details and stuff of that nature.
I think maybe
from a conscious effort, you know, from a conscious perspective, I should say, should maybe not put that stuff on hold for at least a few weeks.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that, you know, what you said also, you know, lends itself to another conversation that I have here in the office with my clients or online with my clients. And because you mentioned, you know, putting on hold or having a hiatus of a few weeks where you're not getting into the questioning and things of that nature. And I agree with that. But I think that there's a lot to be said. And again, something that we may want to talk about at some point if there's interest. And that is the types of questions that even, you know, when people do get into asking questions, what are the helpful questions and what are the destructive questions or the ones
Absolutely.
That don't, you know, what questions help us rebuild and what questions make it harder to rebuild. And a lot of the work that I do there, you know, I put together actually a series of questions that I use, but it also you know, piggybacks on the work of Esther Perel and, you know, some of the excellent work that Esther does, which I think is, you know, just state of the art right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I agree that this is a time, you know, for, you know, when some of those, you know, hopefully not, but people engage in marathon sessions and they, you know, it's a time to maybe put that on the side, on the back burner.
Yeah. Very good. Awesome. Well, David, appreciate it once again. Your knowledge and expertise here is invaluable, and please let everybody know how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And let me just say before I do that, I think that I consider the holiday season a time, you know, as I said at the beginning, for hope, for new beginnings. So people should try to enjoy the holiday season and make their Christmas or Hanukkah a holiday this year that's worth remembering. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to wish everybody listening to this, you know, good health, you know, hoping that the year 2019 will be a year filled with more kindness. Not only in your respective families, but really throughout the world. You know, we're living in difficult times right now.
Yes, we are.
But a time filled with more kindness, more healing, as I said, good health and closer connections for everyone. So, you know,
awesome.
I hope
Thank
that...
you. Very well helps. Said.
Yeah, I really, really hope that happens for everyone. To get hold of me... you know, there's many different ways you could call me. My phone number here is area code 416-315-5107. People could feel free to send me an email at david@closeconnections.ca, and that's closeconnections.ca. That's my email address. And so david@closeconnections.ca. And you could also go to my website, which is www.closeconnections.ca. And feel free to send me an email or anything of the sort. And I meet with people both here in my office here in Toronto, or I also speak with people through the internet. And you know, people can feel comfortable you know, contacting me either way.
Fantastic. I always enjoy talking to you, and I think you have a lot of great stuff that you put out there, and I'm sure people got a lot of benefit from your discussion today, and hopefully they use what you've said as they go into the holiday season. So
I hope so.
Thank you so much.
You know,
yeah.
Well, my pleasure. And one of the things that I'd love to encourage people, you know, if people do have any thoughts about these tips or, you know, just in general, or if they use any of them and they want to share with me, you know, how it helped them or didn't help them, I'd really love to hear. So, you know,
great.
I hope people will reach out.
All right. Very good. Sounds great. David,
good.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right.
And happy holidays.
Same to you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now.